Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Well, thank God it's Monday. Have you been thanking God it's Monday? Have you been aware of that on Monday? Have you woke up with a different attitude? Nicole has. She's naughty. Anybody else? You woke up and you're just facing life with a fresher outlook and all those things. I see that hand over there. Anyone else? Anyone? See a hand there? See a hand there? Ah, oh, that's good. All right. Well, we're going to plow into something. I hope I can get through all this today. But we're going to plow through some things. I want to talk about the bigger picture, the cosmic picture. I want to talk a little bit about the purpose. That you went from I hate my job to you are the job to, you know, the job on purpose. What am I doing? Why am I doing this? Why? What am I doing every day? What's going on here? So we want to talk about the job on purpose. I love the quote from Martin Luther. I'll share it with you again. But a cobbler, a smith, a farmer, each has the work in the office of his trade, consecrated bishops or consecrated priests and bishops. I love that because that would have been so incredibly radical in Martin Luther's day. I mean, literally, there was a massive gap between clergy and laity. Say laity. How many of you ever heard that word before? Lay people or a lay person. You ever heard that word before? Lay, if you look up the word, it means ignorant. So there were the smart folks and the stupid folks. There were the people who could understand the things of God and encounter him, and those who had to come and submit to them because they were too ignorant. In fact, back then, they didn't even care if you read the Bible because you couldn't understand it. So there was this massive gap between the clergy and the laity. And Martin Luther was saying, no more. Are there those exalted positions that are more favorable or we think they're closer to God than we are? We don't have these mediators anymore because every one of us is a bishop and a priest. Every one of us in every calling and every setting in every place in life, no matter what God has gifted you with or called you to do, there's no lay jobs. There's no jobs that are lower or base or ignorant. There's none of that. Every single one of them consecrated, gifted, and called a priest and a bishop. And you should know that. And that's the way our fellowship believes, the way we believe right here at River City. No, I mean, I'm at Impact Church now. Right here at Impact Church, we really believe that every one of you, just put your hand on your head right now, say, I am ordained as a priest and a bishop. Hallelujah. Whoa, I got the bishopric this morning. It's so awesome. But you know, you are all in every setting. You are called to, you are over a destiny, over a purpose of God. You are a king reigning in a calling of God. And it's incredible what you're called to do. And you should understand and do what you do with incredible purpose. I go to work. I get to go to work today. I get to manifest the giftings and callings of God. I get to demonstrate. I get to walk into a place and I get to bring the kingdom everywhere I go. It's a whole different thing. So we want to redeem your mindset. We want you to know your vacation is a holy calling. Your vacation. Amen. Say, thank you, Pastor, my vacation. Your vocation is a holy calling. Work equals worship. You know, worship isn't what you do on Sunday for that little period of time or, you know, your little devotions or this or that. When you're working, literally it says, when you work, when you do that, when you're operating in your gifting, your calling, you are worshiping God. You are demonstrating, you are serving the Lord when you're at work. Let all the retired people say amen. You're serving God. But we want to bring a fresh joy to your world. So that's what it's all about. Genesis 2:15, the Lord took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden. He said, tend it. That word means serve and keep it. That word means guard. So literally work initially was a gift from God, something that God gave us as a gift that would serve his purpose and serve what he desired to see manifest in the earth. So your work and what you're doing should be that you're serving. I am serving a purpose of God in a specific setting with all the giftings and callings that God gave me. Well, what if I just hate my job and I don't feel like I'm serving God? Well, you are. Change your perspective, because no matter what you're doing, even if you're in transition, even if you're, you know, doing something to get where you want to go, where you are right now, it should be a place of worship. It should be a place where you're demonstrating the goodness and the glory of God. Amen. Turn to your neighbor who's kind of grumpy and say, I think he's talking to you. All right, Genesis chapter 3 now. It says, cursed is the ground for your sake. I thought that's an interesting phrase, don't you? Cursed is the ground now for your sake. I mean, the fall came in, and when the fall came, some difficulties, the Lord cursed some things, and he put some boundaries on things, but he did all of that because he wanted you to seek redemption. He didn't want you to enjoy the toil or enjoy the fallen condition or enjoy the mess. He wanted you to seek redemption. He wanted you to seek something fresh because in that curse, there was a promise that someone from the seed of the woman is going to come and bring redemption. And you know, you could believe the promise right then, and because you believe the promise, you could pull on eternity, and you could live out of redemption the purpose of the God in that day. And a lot of people did it. A lot of people did. We now see the performance of redemption, and we live out of that. But it said, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil shall you eat of it all the days of your life. The word toil, my wife said, you should tell the people what toil is. I said, okay, here's toil. Here's the word toil. Pain, labor, hardship, sorrow, toil, to vex or to torture. How many are expecting that tomorrow morning? See, that's literally, I mean, it's not serving. See, God said, I'm going to give you work. I'm going to give you something to do with your life. I'm going to put purpose in you, and you're going to enjoy it. You're going to love it. But when the curse came, it all turned into misery, hardship. You would plant and you would sow and work hard, but you didn't seem to get the results. But the blessing of the Lord makes truly rich. We want the blessing of the Lord on our lives. 2 Corinthians verse 5, chapter 5, verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteous of God. Jesus became a curse for us. Cursed is he who hangs on a tree. So Jesus took the curse so that we now by faith could step into the righteousness of God, which doesn't just mean a spiritual state. It means I am set right, body, soul, spirit. Every aspect of my life experiences now the reign of righteousness in all that I do. So it's not just I get to go to heaven. It's heaven comes to me and all of my experience gets touched by the glory of God. All the amen people away today, we got just, can somebody just intercede on their behalf and just throw the pastor a bone? Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate that. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich. What is it? The blessing of the Lord makes truly rich, adds no sorrow to it, neither will toiling increase it. Can I get an amen? 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift or shape, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See, God is demonstrating his manifold grace and his wisdom through you. He's gifted you and called you, and he's done that so that when you go to work, when you demonstrate, or you've got your own job, or you've got your own business, or whatever you're doing, God has gifted you in that setting so you can manifest his grace. You get to wake up in the morning, go to work, and manifest the many-sided, faceted grace of God. Oh, do I have to? Yes, you do. You're blessed. You're walking into a situation. You are blessed. You are favored. Literally, they should be wondering, you know, ever since we hired that guy, I cannot believe sales have gone up. Everything has shifted. Everything has changed. You know, your whole world can change because you're there. You can pray and bring the blessing of God on your workplace, on your boss. If your boss is annoying, pray for him. If I'm your boss, chill out, relax. It's not that bad. You're probably the problem. All right, just that's for staff in the room. All right, your shape. Everybody's got a shape. Last week we talked a bit about your shape. Your shape is you. Everybody's got spiritual gifts. You have spiritual gifts. You do. You. I free you to point your finger right at the person next to you. Say, you have spiritual gifts. It says to each one, gifts have been given. So God gave you spiritual gifts. How many reckon if he gave me spiritual gifts, I should know what they are? You have been gifted by God, graced by God. Every one of us have spiritual gifts. H stands for heart. Every one of you have a heart. You see the world a certain way. You have a disposition towards things. If somebody walked in the room and they were carrying a cake and they tripped and did a face plant, I would immediately tell them, don't carry the cake in front of your eyes because my gift is prophetic and I'm going to speak to your future and tell you what you did wrong and don't do it again. But somebody else might go clean you up and say, you poor thing, are you okay? Somebody else would run out the door. Where are you going? I'm going to buy another cake. Everybody would see that situation in a different way because we all approach and see the world differently. Aren't you glad everybody's not like me? Say, yes, Pastor. So glad. Thank God for the cake buyer. Amen. We've all got abilities. We've all got personality. You have a unique personality, God-given personality. And every one of us have background and experiences that we bring to every situation. And that is our shape. That is how God has created us and called us and set us. And that is supposed to be used for the glory of God and the grace of God in your life. Can I get a hallelujah? All right, Exodus 35, last week we talked about these guys. And they were gifted by God and anointed by God to build a place, a sanctuary for God. God wanted to dwell among the people. God wanted to come out of heaven and he wanted the people. Hallelujah. God wanted to be with the people, so he built a sanctuary. He had to have a hallowed and sanctified place where he could come and dwell with the people. So people were anointed. People were set apart. People were gifted to build that place. So we wanted to explain that to you. So now we see Jesus. Jesus said, I've come, and he said, I'm going to build my church. He said, I'm going to build my sanctuary. I'm going to put together a place where I can habitate. And you see, Jesus came to earth. The whole purpose of him coming to earth was so that you could get filled with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, this is the one who's coming after me. He will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. The whole purpose of Jesus was that he could come out of heaven. He could live and completely fulfill the law. He could fulfill every right and circumstance and privilege. And then he could ascend to heaven and say, I did it all, Father. I fulfilled it all. Now I can qualify every one of them by faith to be sanctuaries of your spirit. Every one of them who believe what I did can now be a container of the very resurrection power of God. So now every one of us, Jesus is building together these living stones. So just like that sanctuary was built together, gifts, talents, abilities to build a dwelling place for God, Jesus is building his sanctuary, his dwelling place, his habitation of called out ones, and it's not church buildings. It's not even places where churches congregate. It's the church living and breathing in the earth, bringing the glory of God everywhere they go. And your callings, your giftings, your job, anointed by the Spirit of God, you are now to be released out. Thank God it's Monday. I get to go out and demonstrate the kingdom everywhere I am. The Holy Ghost will make you look like a genius. The Holy, getting whacked in the Holy Ghost is better than any training you could ever have, because he can breathe on your situation, and no matter where you are, the very wisdom of God can come into manifestation and expression right there. That doesn't mean you shouldn't get training and go get training. Absolutely you should, but you should be have incredible wisdom and understanding in your field. But when you got the anointing, that takes you to another level of creativity and understanding that, I'm telling you, without him, you're just disadvantaged. Thanks, Daryl. Praise God. Daryl's doing it he's pushing for extra for more people. All right, so go ahead. Matthew, you buy me one more slide. Give me another one. 1 Peter 2:4, he says, you also are living stones built together into a spiritual house. You're being built together into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which were prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God had an eternal purpose for you. You are not random. You are not by mistake. You are specifically placed in this time, and he has wonderful, great things that he wants to do in and through you. You are amazing. You are a gift. You are a miracle waiting to manifest. That's the truth about you. The word workmanship is the word poema, poema, the accent on the poema. But the poema, it means it's made, it's a work, it's workmanship, or it's creation. But it's where we get the English word poem. I am his poem. I am a creation of God. I am a beautiful lyrical demonstration of his love and of his kingdom. And everywhere you go, thank God it's Monday, because I get to go out and demonstrate the creation of God, the multifaceted wisdom of God, the beauty of God everywhere I go. Amen. That's what it's all about. I mean, I could come and give you three lessons how to be a better employee. Hallelujah. God wants you to be a better employee. Praise God. Oh, thanks, Pastor. Give me another to-do list. Hallelujah. I don't want to give you a to-do list. I want to give you a revelation of the power that's at work in you. I want to give you a revelation of the why. Because if you understand the why, I tell you, bang, you'll start to operate and you'll start to realize I am empowered to be excellent in everything I do. And you're not some random person, you got to do something 9 to 5 between, you know, Monday and Friday, got to do something, I guess. What you're doing, where you are, it can be a very sanctuary. It can be a living habitation of the goodness and glory of God. You are manifesting kingdom everywhere you go. I don't care if you're flipping pizzas. I don't care if you're mopping floors. I don't care if you're chopping open heads and doing brain surgery. It should all be done to the glory of God. Everything. Everything. We're his workmanship. All right, Ephesians 4. Say Ephesians 4. All right. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, what am I? I'm an ascension gifting. I'm a gift that he himself gave to the body of Christ. What am I here for? I'm here to get out there, to reach the lost, to do all the spiritual work, to counsel everybody, to do all the, to visit the hospitals, to go out and reach the lost, catch the lost, do this. I to study the word, bring the word. You know, we really think that. We really think that you're like the professional clergyman, and then we just go out and work secular stuff all week, and then we come back and you, the professional clergyman, you kind of talk to us, give us a pep talk to go face that miserable world again. Go on there. Go do it. You know, that's what I think a lot of people think. Church is where I get my little spiritual pep talk to get me through the miserable world. And will you please tell me, when do I get to get out of here? You don't get to get out of here. You get to go into there. You get to go into there and demonstrate the kingdom, the power, and the purposes of God. Quit trying to get out. God's trying to get you in. You see, these are the equipping of the saints to do what? The saints do the work of the ministry. Oh, I thought you were the minister. No, you're the minister. See, my ministry is to minister to you. And I'm the minister to you, so you can go do ministry. If I do all the ministry, I literally am plugging up the flow of what's supposed to be going on. So we're all, you're called to do the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till what? Till we all come to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, until we all come to the fullness of Christ. Say fullness of Christ. How many think the body of Christ is there already? How many look around at the body of Christ and go, looks a little wacky. Looks a little messed up, a little all over the ice. Some believe this, some believe that. Some are all over the place on their stuff and their bodies. Let me tell you how I plain know God's not coming back yet. Because it says he's going to come back to a body. He's going to come back to a bride without spot or wrinkle. Going to come back to a church that's really functioning powerfully and mightily in the earth. If he came back for the church now, like some people say, if he doesn't judge the world now, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. My thing is, if he doesn't manifest better grace in the church and bring the church to fullness, he's going to have to apologize to Las Vegas. See, you can't judge the earth based on the manifestation of the church right now. I mean, I don't see a glorious church. I see a church bickering and, you know, all over each other. Some believe this, some believe that. Some people are calling out this. I mean, it says that we're going to get to the perfect man until we reach the full measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. Positionally, that's a total reality. But I tell you, the church is going to be not a byword in the earth. It's not going to be something where we have actually politicians who say, you know, we don't even want Christians in our party. They're going to ask Christians for advice. They're going to seek out believers. We're not going to be a byword. We're going to be the word. We're going to be the influence in the earth today. Settle down. I know that's exciting for you. Well, let me show you some more, all right? You need some more help with that one. John Garfield. I like John. He's the author of several books, one of his books, Releasing Kings. But he said, the Reformation of Calvin and Luther gave us access to the presence of God. But he said, this Reformation, say Reformation. We're in one right now. Some people are looking for revival, but we're actually experiencing a reformation. We're experiencing a reshaping and a realigning of the mindsets and the way believers even think. There's something happening in the church today that is powerful. Sadly, a lot of churches are missing it because they're stuck in the last move of God. But there is a reformation taking place right now in the body of Christ. And this reformation is an invitation to co-labor with the Father and play our role of building the kingdom. Couple of amens, that was good. Some of you, what? Look, the revelation of salvation is that Jesus is King and Lord. But the revelation of kingdom is that he's the King of kings and he's the Lord of lords. The reformation is the equipping and releasing of saints into their mountain, thus changing nations. How many remember the Great Commission? Go reach a few people. Go share the good news with a couple of folks. Do your very, very best and then I'll come back and get you out of here. How many remember that? It's not what it says. He said, go now in my name and my power and my authority, disciple the nations. Disciple the nations. Not share your testimony with a few lost people. Literally, disciple not a few people, but disciple nations to come under the revelation of who I am. See, that's got to take place, and it will take place. And God's glory is going to be manifest, and this Reformation is going to release people. That's why, thank God, it's Monday is such an important message, because if you don't know what you're doing on Monday, then you don't know what God called you to do. You're not manifesting kingship in your mountain. You're not manifesting what it means for us as Christians and believers to go invade this world with a love war and bring them in alignment with the purposes of God. Are you guys okay? You're all right? All right, this is important stuff. All right, let me turn the page. I've got it all right up on the screen because I want you to read it, all right? It's all there. I'm going to read it. You read it with me. In 1975, Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade, Lauren Cunningham, founder of Youth with a Mission, they had lunch together in Colorado. It was 1975. Now, I've read this to you before. I've talked about it before, but I want to share it in light of this. Thank God it's Monday, because it's very important. They had lunch together, and God had simultaneously given each of them, these change agents, a message to give to the other. They each met with each other to give them a message. God wants me to tell you this. During that same time, Francis Schaeffer, some of you know Francis Schaeffer and his ministry over in Europe, Francis Schaeffer had the same vision, the similar message. That message was that if we are to impact any nation for Jesus Christ, then we would have to affect the seven spheres or mountains of society that are the pillars of any society. These seven mountains are business, government, media, arts and entertainment, education, family, and religion. Religion needs to be taken. There's a lot of religion in the world today, and that mountain of religion needs to be taken. It needs to experience alignment. In essence, God was telling these three change agents where the battlefield was. It was here where culture would be won or lost, and their assignment was to raise up change agents to scale the mountains and to help a new generation of change agents understand the larger story, understand the bigger picture. You are involved in a bigger picture. You're not involved in just your little life, just trying to scrape by, get a little blessing of God on you, get ahead just a little bit, throw a few offerings here and there, and then Jesus will get you out of here. That's not the call of God in your life. Your call is to disciple nations. Your call is to change the world. Oh, do I have to? Today, I had plans this afternoon. This isn't something you got to get all hyped up for. You are literally wired for this. The power of God that's in you, when you align yourself with His purpose, it's actually full of joy. It's full of purpose. And there's nothing you'd rather do when you know you're in the setting that God set you to be. All right, let's talk about it a bit more. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. This is also three different places in the Bible. But in Isaiah 2, verse 2, it says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days." Say latter days. There's all kind of, you should study all the last day scripture. They're actually very exciting. They're not really scary. They're very exciting. Very exciting stuff. Here's something that's going to happen in the last days. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. So if you have mountains of culture, over all of the mountains of culture, what mountain is established over the top of them all? The Lord's house. See, the Lord says, "No, you go to church, what a loser. I can't believe you do that, man. Only losers are Christians. You need a crutch, man, because you just can't handle life." Are you kidding me? But you go to church, you're awesome. You know God, take me to your leader. Church is not supposed to be a byword or something that, you know, oh, you do church, I can't believe you do that. Today, people don't even get why you do church, because we're not manifesting the revelation and the purpose of church in our everyday lives. Does anybody want more? Okay, oh, all right. The Lord's house, the highest mountain, and it, look what it says on top of the mountains, it shall be exalted, and it says all nations will flow to it. How many know that the church has to come into a place of that kind of influence in the latter days? In the last days. Study these things. That means before Jesus comes, the glory of God has to be powerfully in revelation on the church. And everybody's got to go, dude, church is really awesome. It's really important. It's something that should be very vital to your life. All right, the cosmological aspect of this. Let me go cosmological. Say cosmos. The really, really big, big picture. You ready? The big, big picture. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. "He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with a view of the administration." Say administration. There's an administration. In the eternal purpose, there's an administration. In the eternal purpose of God that he wants to fulfill in the earth today, there is an administration of it. Really? Wow. I had no idea. There is. There really is. It says that it's the oikonomai, which means the household management. God has a house. He has a spiritual house. And cosmologically, God is doing things according to his revelation. And it used to be a mystery, but the Apostle Paul says it's not a mystery anymore. God's fulfilling his eternal purpose in the earth, and he's doing it through an administration. There is a household administration that God is using, and it's suitable to the fullness of times. And what is it? It is the summing up of all things in heaven and in earth in him. All things in heaven and on earth are going to be summed up in him. And this mystery, this whole purpose is that God's going to do it through his household administration, through his household management, a vehicle that you know. It's called the church. And the church is not an afterthought. The church isn't even plan B. The church was the eternal purpose, has no beginning, has no end. There will be church even after it's all done. There'll still be church. It's this congregation of called out ones who will be his administrative purpose in the earth. Church is the big picture. It's the cosmological picture. And through that, through this vehicle, he's going to sum everything up and bring it all in alignment and then exalt it to himself through the body of Christ. Now let me give you the ecclesiological. Say ecclesiological. All right, I don't know if it's a word. I might have made it up. I'm not sure. But anyway, Ephesians 3, 9 to 10. And he will bring to light what is the administration. Well, what is the administration of the mystery, Pastor? He will bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden. God, who created all things so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. God is revealing his wisdom to all spiritual beings in creation, and he's doing that through the administration called the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. Turn to your neighbor, point at him, say, he's talking to you. Thank you. All right. So that's it. So let's go. I'm moving fast now. Say, Jesus is a reformer. John 12, 46, 47. He said, I have come as the light of the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. That's a pretty massive collision. He's come as the light of the earth. People were in darkness. I've come to bring light. That's a pretty serious collision. All right. I have come to bring light, to bring people out of darkness. He's using this kind of language because he wants to explain this is a serious contrast. This is a huge collision. This is like light overcoming darkness. He says, I'm going to come as the light, and whoever believes in me, that they should not abide in darkness. Now listen to this. If anyone hears my words and does not believe, they're going straight to hell in a handbasket, should be judged. If they don't smarten up, the judgment of God is going to hit the earth now. Let's read that again, because I messed up, all right? Those who do not believe in my words, I do not judge him. Just thought I'd throw that out. How many know that judgment comes when you break just one little bit of the law? How much of the law do you have to break to get judgment? How much? You break one, it says you've broken it all. And yet we today have teachers preaching like we're filling up buckets, like we're it's getting worse and worse. You know, with God, all you had to do was do one little thing wrong. You were guilty of it all. I don't know where this whole judgment theology comes from because it's not in the Bible. If it is, it was in an old covenant context. But the world was judged in Christ on the cross, done, finished, over. Anybody looking for more judgment, I don't know why they are. You know, God's going to judge this world, amen?
Hey, woo, yeah, preach it.
Who gets happy about that? That's like going to a NASCAR crash and say 25 drivers are going to die today because of accidents.
Oh, yeah, woo.
Who does that? I mean, that's happening in ministries and things in the earth today. They're like, come on, get all hyped up. Come on, God, judge the world. Kill people. Woo! Sorry, did I get a little animated there? Just, have I got your attention at all? Yeah. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. A woman was caught in adultery. She was brought to him, probably naked. Probably, as many believe, Mary Magdalene. When they brought her, they said, Jesus turned and said, hey, all right, let's see. You guys must know the law. So he's thinking, they know the law. So I'm going to say, which one of you is not guilty in some part of the law? And from the oldest to the youngest, they all left. Because you know what? Here's the truth. If you're guilty of one little bit, you deserve what you think she deserves. So why don't one of you who's without sin throw the first stone? The only person qualified to throw stones was Jesus. And you know what Jesus said? Where are your condemners? And he said, neither do I condemn you. Yes, Pastor, but he said, go and sin no more. No, he said, go and, you know, the crazy life you're in, don't do that anymore. It's not going to get you anywhere. You can be free. No, he said, go and sin no more. No, he said, hey, that crappy life you're living, it's no good. Trust me, you're way better than that. And that's why Mary Magdalene was the one who showed up at Simon the Pharisee's house. She could have been killed for just doing what she did, walked into that party, and she anointed his feet with her life savings. And scripture says forever she'll be talked about. Why? Why is that forever talked about? Because we got to get the message, folks. Why was she the one, the first one to witness the resurrection of Christ? You think that was a random choice? Those were forgiven much, loved much. And she was there. And then she goes back and she tells the disciples, I've seen Jesus. Oh, Mary, chill. Mary, that crazy demon-possessed lady, we cast a bunch of devils out with Jesus. Now she's saying she saw Jesus raised up. Yeah, thanks, Mary. Good for you. What are we going to do? We're so terrified. We're so scared. Jesus had to walk in the room and rebuke them. They wouldn't listen. Okay, how you doing? All right, thank you very much. All right, Jesus, man, he was radical. We need some of Jesus reformed today, folks. We really, really do. Because you know what? When you work and when you go to your job and you go to that place where you should go and you should have a job, God wants you to have a job. If you don't have one, we'll pray for you. You know, you go there, you should be manifesting kingdom. You should be the nicest, sweetest person there. I'm telling you. Everybody should be calling you for prayers. You should be getting invited to all the parties. Oh, no, they don't want me there. I'm the believer. Well, then you're a bad believer. What? I stand at my workplace for holiness. Hallelujah. Well, your holiness ain't that great. Really, you have no holiness except his holiness, and you didn't earn it. He gave it to you, so cheer up. Okay, that was nice. Did I do that with a smile at least? I didn't do it with a smile. A little hard. Okay, let's get through this. Can you say get through this, Pastor? All right, we're moving really quick now. All right, Romans chapter 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. What did sin do? Sin means you missed the mark. What is the mark? Glory. Ephesians 3:21, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. Now listen to this. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. Let me give you another phrase. You ready? Forever and ever. What does that mean? The church is going to manifest the glory of God until Jesus comes. No, read it. Through all generations, not only generations, time and space now, but forever and ever, the church is the eternal purpose of God. How amazing is that? He is so incredibly committed to doing what he's going to do in and through us. Colossians 1:27, to whom God was pleased to make known how great for the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. What is the mystery? Here it is. Christ within and among you is the hope of realizing the glory. God's filling the earth with his glory right now. Him in you, you, that living group of people built together, you, plural, become that habitation. You become the prophetic outworking of his purpose in the earth. That means when you go to work, you are manifesting kingdom. You are fulfilling the eternal cosmological purpose of God. When you go to work and you manifest the kingdom, when you go to work and you demonstrate his grace on your life, you are fulfilling the eternal purpose of God. I know it's good. Settle down, please. I'm trying to finish. Oh, my goodness. All right. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You're a chosen generation, a holy priesthood, a holy nation, a people that God wants to proclaim his praises through. He called you out, O darkness, into his marvelous light. You're carriers of glory. Habakkuk 2:14. Another last days verse, all right? In the last days, what's going to happen? The earth will be filled with the glory. Not just glory, but the knowledge of the glory. What does that mean? It means that, did you know the glory was in the earth? You don't have to ask everybody. They'll all know it. It will be knowable. Tangible. It means it'll be so heavy that everybody goes, oh my God, what is that? I think it's the glory of God. Everybody will know it. That means that the glory of God is going to heavily, how heavy? As the waters cover the sea. How heavy is that? That's really, really heavy. That means, how many think if you were at the bottom of the ocean, you would feel the pressure? That's what he's saying. Everybody is going to feel that's the glory of God. I don't care how many blood moons it is or what dates they fell on. That seeks fulfillment. And it says in Acts chapter 19, 21, 22, 23, you go read it. It says, he is held in heaven until the fulfillment of all scriptures. He is held in heaven until every prophecy about him is fulfilled. That one still seeks fulfillment. He would break his own law if he was released today to come. And if he did that, the whole thing would implode on itself and we have nothing. I see that. I see that hand slapping. I'll do a couple more verses. I'm not going to get as far as I hope to get today. But in Chronicles, I'm not going to read it all, but in Chronicles, it talks about all these mountains. In 2 Chronicles, it talks about a guy named Uzziah. And Uzziah was an apostolic manifestation of the purpose of God. And Uzziah is somebody who, when he came into power, he took the boundaries of Israel and he restored them exactly as they should be. There were areas that enemies had taken from the people of God, but Uzziah took them all back. He took them all back. And that was a prophetic text for our day, that we today have a responsibility to influence every mountain and every sphere. If you read that, I mean, there was Elath, there was Gath, there was Jabneh, there was Ashdod, Gerbel, the Mehunims, the Ammonites, all of these areas, they had all encroached and taken from the people of God. But when Uzziah came to power, he didn't just take it back. He brought the people of God to a place where they'd never, ever been before. And he brought them into a place where they began to reign and rule as God expected them to. And I believe that was a prophetic manifestation that we were restored, we returned back to restore, to refresh, to repair, that the body of Christ will be in we will be in these last days, everything God called us to be. That's the seven mountains right there, and all of those have to be taken. You know, sometimes you come to church, and like I said last week, you know, which job is important? Is it pastor, evangelist? What's important? They're all important. That's because we need people in all of these spheres. I know people in China that are working for the Communist Party. They're not praying against it. They're working for it. They're elected party members. They're in the party, in the communist hierarchy. And the reason they're there is because God put them there, because while being there, they can influence the party. People are getting saved in the Communist Party because they are going there, because the only political party here is that one. Then somebody's got to get in there and take it. They're in there on purpose to manifest kingdom. You know, art's like, I mean, some of you folks went to see a movie recently, The War Room. I mean, those guys are making better movies all the time. And you know, you can make a decent movie with a good message. And I mean, I saw an email from a guy, it was a news reporter who was, you know, talking. He went and saw the movie, just a secular channel, and the guy started crying when he went to the movie. He started crying when he talked about it. He says, that has influenced my life forever. I mean, no, we gotta take those things back. I mean, you can have a really good show without a whole bunch of smut and nonsense. There's all these areas, folks, we have to realize that God wants you where you are. Your job is not just something to get a few bucks to you so you can hit the bucket on Sunday. It's so that you can reign and rule in that situation and manifest the kingdom, the power, and the purpose of God. Come on, stand up with me. The rest of the notes are on the website. You can check it out. It's all there, and you should check it out. I mean, don't ever expect that, you know, 45 minutes on a Sunday or whatever, you can get all the revelation you need. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. You know, we do everything we can. We'll put the sermon on the website. It'll be there before you get home. The notes were there before the service started. You literally could have downloaded the notes before I started preaching and follow along and underline and do that. You know, I mean, we're doing everything we can to make it easy for you to embrace what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. You know, we really got to do it. We really got to get into it. You know, this is so big. You can never really understand, thank God it's Monday, if you don't realize that what I do, everything I do, I'm serving the Almighty. I'm demonstrating His kingdom. And if you don't know that, you know, you'll get stuck in the mundane. You'll get lied to that what you're doing is meaningless. And it isn't. It has incredible power and incredible purpose. And where you are, you can change lives, change circumstances, change situations. You can disciple that little part of the world that you're in, and you can bring it some understanding under the understanding of the power of God and His kingdom. Amen, Pastor. Thank you, Jesus. Just bow your heads. Close your eyes. I knew, I thought I bit off more than I could chew this morning, but I threw it out there anyways. Listen, maybe you're here today, you wandered in, somebody brought you, you just saw the sign, thought you'd check us out. But listen, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and that's the first step you got to do. First thing's got to happen, just accept that He accepts you. You know, He's already decided you're to die for. He's already decided I love you like crazy. He's already decided I want you in my family. He's already decided I love you. You just need to accept that. And if you've never accepted that, if you've never embraced the fact that He is your Heavenly Father and that He has a plan and a purpose for you, if you've never received Him as your Lord and your Savior, I want you to do that right now. So very quickly, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three. If you've never done that, would you please put your hand up so I can see it? Are you ready? One, two, three. Just raise your hand up really high so I can see it. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just lift it up so I can see it, okay? Thank you. Wow. Can we all pray? Everybody pray with me. You pray. You put your hand up. You pray. Everybody pray. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I receive the message that you accept me. I believe that good news in my heart. I receive it. And I confess with my mouth right now, you are the Son of God. You're my Savior, my Deliverer, my Redeemer, and my Healer. Thank you for coming into my life right now. Thank you for reconciling me to the Father. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Got some good news. It's always been news, really good news. It's not just news today. It's always been true. You're forgiven through Jesus Christ. You really are. You don't have a sin relationship with God anymore. That's dealt with, covered. That issue's taken care of. You can live and abide in his presence every day as a child of God. That's good news. Somebody might talk to you, come and pat you on the shoulder, and they just want to help you on that journey, okay? I just want those who are assigned to minister at the altar today, if you guys have come forward right now, our elders and any others that are assigned to minister, we're going to pray for you right now and just bless you. Everybody excited about the Blue Jays? Is it just me or excited about the Blue Jays? Awesome. You've got to get see that. I went out on Tuesday night. I was there on Tuesday when they lost. So I'm never going to go back until they, you know. But it's exciting stuff. Amen. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness, your grace. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not some random, you know, little grease spot on the earth that needs your help. I come from you. I find my whole being and my identity in you. You're my God. You love me. And you've set me now in a place where you want to favor me, honor me, and you want to use me to manifest your kingdom today. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. Father, I pray that we would never approach any day just as another day. But we would always say, this is the day the Lord has made. You know, we're going to embrace this day. We're going to rejoice in it. We're going to manifest kingdom in it. I'm going to reveal the grace and the glory of God in and through my life. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just bless these folks. I bless them right now that the love of the Father would so penetrate every aspect of their being, that love would just so prop them up and baptize them with all your goodness. Thank you for your grace, Jesus. Thank you that you surround me with favor every day, everywhere I go. And I thank you that I'm never alone. I'm not an orphan, but I've got your Holy Spirit with me, my friend and my partner, my comforter, to manifest kingdom everywhere I go. So, Father, I send this house, these folks, with that blessing in Jesus' precious name. And I just pray, Ron and Sharon, they are going all the way back to Florida just because they can, coming back for Christmas. But bless you guys. Love you. Have an awesome journey. Be safe. Be blessed and enjoy yourself. And we'll see you for Christmas. Bless you guys. God bless you. Have an awesome day. It's good to see the LaChances made it back from Las Vegas. Came back early because they lost all their money. But anyways, good to see you. Bless you. In Jesus' name.